This week on RSBNB Update, Double XP Weekend Extended is here, and it's the most special weekend of the year, celebrating Game Blast and Special Effect. We detail why this charity is so important and what Tanis will be getting up to, plus thoughts on the communications survey. This is RSBNB Update, episode 765, recorded Thursday, February 20th, 2020, uniting for Game Blast 20. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, just Tanis and myself sitting in. It's Double XP weekend about to begin, and you know we got a couple little patch notes to talk about. We got a couple little surprises in terms of surveys, I guess we could say. And we've also met a big milestone, haven't we? So yeah, there's stuff to talk about. Definitely, always on this podcast, right?
Got all kinds of stuff to talk about. You got that feeling, Shane, that little butterflies in your stomach the night before Double XP.
You know, I haven't felt that way about Double XP weekend in a long time.
Yeah, but this one's different because I mean, yes, you do get it is extended.
Yes.
But from the 21st to the 23rd.
Game Blast weekend.
Yeah.
Which is really important to us here at RSBNB Update, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, just, I guess, some introductions along the way. If anybody wants to ever chat with me in-game, I am Shane12088, and you are Tanis79, and we, of course, would absolutely love to hear from you if you want to talk to us. If not, that's okay. You can just listen behind the scenes at the back of the room. That's okay, too. That's perfectly fine for podcast listening. But you're right. Double XP weekend extended. We got 48 hours this time, not 36. People are happy about that.
It's a weekend, man. It's a weekend. And I thought of something else about the 48 hours here. Check this out, Shane. Now, I know there's some people think the community got their way. Okay.
I'm raising my hand right now. Listeners can't see that.
But you know something I noticed with the last Double XP weekend extended was when you would be on, you had to like know what you were doing because you didn't want to waste.
Yeah, you don't want to see that little counter tick
and
down.
You kept doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when Farming Airblow dropped, you couldn't touch it for a week, you know, because you were locked into your Double XP games.
Yep.
With 48 hours, even if you're in that big percent that doesn't use all of your time, you know what this does? It gives you a little bit of a cushion without adding a toggle. Hey?
And you know how we feel about toggles.
Right? So now you have a little bit more time. You don't have to feel so rushed. See? It's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes and see it'd be interesting to see what the numbers are at the end of this to see if more people used more time or if maybe for some absurd reason out there was actually less time being used. I don't know the way it's going to go, but it would just be a fun thing to know after the fact, I think. But of course, we're dancing around the issue, and that is, of course, that this Double XP weekend comes into effect for Game Blast 2020. I think it's been going on since 2016. Jagex has been involved in it
earlier.
For varying degrees. Okay, earlier? When was the first one?
Earlier. It's at least 2015.
Okay.
I thought it might have went. Yeah, 2015, I think.
All right, fair enough. And you're involved in this. You are set to be live streaming this weekend on Saturday. I'm going to get this podcast out, so those of you guys who listen early will be able to hear this and join Tanis' stream. So tell us about your live stream, where they can find it, what you're going to be doing, and what time it's going to be at.
All right. So part of what we do on Game Blast is a lot of streams to try to raise money for Special Effect. And I'll talk more about special effect in a little bit, but I'll be streaming from 2 to 5 p.m. That's Eastern time. I think Theron helped me with this, and it was 7 to 10 p.m. I think UK time.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So
yeah, 7 to p.m. game time. 7 to 10 p.m. game time.
So you can find me at on Twitch at rsbnb_tanis79.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes, of course, as well, which you can find at update.rsbnb.com.
Yeah, and I'm basically, you know, who knows what I'll be doing. I'll be doing all kinds of stuff. I will probably do some kind of high intensity Slayer or
bossing.
Maybe some bossing. Maybe. Cause you know why I can do that, Shane? Because I got 48 hours, man.
Yeah, 48 hours. Take a bit of a break.
We can do that. Yeah, I could. Ooh, I got it. Yes, I'm going to do some bossing, but this is all to raise money for special effect. And you can check out my Just Giving page. We'll have a link to that.
Because I'm just looking at that URL, and that is definitely a long one. justgiving.com/fundraising/rsbnb1079. Link in the show notes, of course, for that as well.
Right. And so
and now we're getting to the really important part.
Well, I'm a part of a larger community. Did you know that, Shane?
Yes, we are.
We're all a part. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, we're all the same here, Shane.
Yeah.
So this year there is a bunch of RuneScape content creators that have gotten together and created a team called the United Communities of RuneScape, and we're all streaming over the weekend and trying to raise money for special effect. And there's some serious streamers on there, like the RS guy. I think Tonix is on there.
We also have the Departed Modly.
Yes, Regicidal.
Can the Departed Mod Shawnee.
Crazy,
and,
huh?
And a couple of others. And, you know, I think it's really great seeing this involvement in the community for all these folks who have effectively left, the Jagex in the official capacity. But they still, even after all this time, are still giving to the community. And, you know, that's what this weekend is all about. It's about giving to the community in order to help special effect. So what's the reason that you get involved in this? And listeners might know this from listening in the past, but for those who don't, just give us a bit of a brief rundown of why this is such a special weekend to you.
Okay. All right. So special effect helps people with physical disabilities be able to play video games. And as many of you already know, I am legally blind. I have Stargardt's, which is a genetic eye disease. So I have almost no central vision, and then I also have like little holes all over retina stuff, kind of like Swiss cheese. Of course, where those are, you can't see. So I use all kinds of different stuff to try to be able to game and stream and be able to enjoy stuff. So I really, I understand why. Well, just how important it is. I understand just how being able to game can let you feel it can give you the confidence to, talk to people and to be social when otherwise you might find it, really challenging. And it can just be a great addition to your life. It can just, we all benefit from having friends all over the world and stuff like that, but to have that window, to have that ability to like go to make friends like that when you're disabled, it just means the world to you. So that's kind of like, that's kind of what, that's why I personally have a connection, you know, to special effect. But the work that they do is just, it's incredible. And it, you know, it actually benefits, I think, everybody. You know, what's the technologies and the things that they develop is something that has helped many people, far and wide. When you donate this weekend, part of that donation helps them fund a project called Stargaze. And what Stargaze is, it's their project where they're able to bring eye tracking technology to hospitals or I guess anywhere that would have like a serious, you know, emergency like that, where someone is completely paralyzed and all they can move is their eyes. They can go there and assist and kind of be that like lifeline in that emergency situation to be able to open up communication.
And that's something many people don't realize in the modern era, just how a number of years back, even a decade or two ago, assistive technology was a lot more expensive than it is today. Granted, yes, specialized technology is today still expensive, but the prices have come down, and what you can do with a basic computer today or a tablet is absolutely amazing.
When I first started college, Shane, my first year, you had to buy a software called ZoomText.
Right.
About, it ran 900 to 1200 bucks usually. Windows 7 came out. had it built in. It's free. Like, how cool is that?
And we already also had that on all our smartphone and tablet operating systems, iOS and Android, or you can effectively control them by voice. That was one of the biggest things that came out last year with iOS 13, was not only to be able to use Siri to talk and dictate messages and emails and whatnot, but also to be able to actually control the operating system itself. So just the leaps and bounds we've seen in technology too is really something to be proud of. And I want to bring this back to special effect because, you know, one of the biggest companies out there, and I'm sorry if I'm hijacking this from you, but one of the biggest companies out there tech-wise is Microsoft. And they put out this adaptive, I think it's called the Adaptive Xbox Controller. And this controller works on the Xbox One, but it also works on your PC. And it is a controller that you can customize based entirely on what your accessibility needs are. And this is something that Microsoft sells in most retail stores for $100, the same price as a high-end Xbox controller. And this is just talking about bringing that technology that was once on the fringe and bringing it a lot closer to everybody else. And Special Effect did actually have involvement in this in terms of determining how to actuate all the various buttons that you would receive for this. So,
yeah, that's one of the great things about Special Effect and charities like Special Effect. Having that expertise when Microsoft came knocking was invaluable. And I read a story just today that there's been they've developed a new peripheral that plugs into the Xbox controller, which allows someone to use the stick on their wheelchair as their joystick.
Ooh.
I mean, how cool, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's ongoing and that's not even touching the real live people. Like, you know, if you go to Special Effects website, you can watch the videos and you can read the stories of the people that they've helped. We're talking, you know, people with cerebral palsy, people with muscular dystrophy, people with just, I mean, you name it. So many different things they've been able to find a solution to, because that's one of the really difficult things, is everyone is so individual, is everyone's disability is so individual that there's like hardly any one size fits all type of deal.
And that's what makes it so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But because of our support, the people that Special Effect help, they're not charged anything. Like they're just being helped. So it's just a great organization.
And Special Effect itself has raised between 2014 and 2019, so the game lasts before this year and goes back to 2014, 800,000 plus British pounds for this cause.
Wow.
Since 2014.
And, that's a lot of money. But, man, they have helped a lot of people on that amount of money. Like, that is crazy.
It really is. It really is. And that's why, you know, this double XP weekend is there on the surface. But when you think about it, the true meaning of the one in February is always the one that we hope goes forward with the zeal that it has because of this charity behind it. And in total, the goal for everybody who is taking part in the United Communities of RuneScape Just Giving campaign has a total target to be raised of £5,000 for everybody in this group. And, I mean, there's 15 people in this group, and there's a very good chance that they will smash through that. Everybody has their own set targets, but what's happening at the end of the day is there is an entire process that is being done just so that this one target set for the entire collective group will be smashed. And, you know, the Jagex community the community surrounding RuneScape is a very generous one on that. Is there anything else you want to mention regarding Special Effect or the Just Giving campaign? Because there's something I want to highlight in relation to this before we move on to other stuff.
Okay, well, highlight away, Shane.
All right. You know, everybody always talks about, you know, what else can you do aside from donating to your favorite content creator? Well, there's an actual charity auction running this weekend, and Sunday, I believe, it looks to end around 11 a.m. game time, I think. Fingers crossed. I don't know if that's the right time based on this, but we'll have a link in the show notes to all this stuff. There's an eBay charity auction going on with a number of RuneScape paraphernalia or gear pieces, you could say. Some of it is made by players, as in custom-made goods. One of them is a plushie. Another one's a bag. But also with this, there's T-shirts available from RuneFest 2019 that the J-Mods wore, in particular Mod Osborne's RuneFest T-shirt and Mod Dolan's RuneFest T-shirt is available, as well as the cue cards that were used during the Archaeology release announcement at RuneFest by Mod Osborne, a RuneFest bingo card from Mod Osborne, his personal one where he was keeping score at RuneFest bingo. We also have the clothing that was used in the Archaeology trailer. That was that video they showed at RuneFest with Osborne and Shawnee. Then some other community-made goods as well, but all of these things are available for bidding at the eBay charity auction website. And this was something I saw tweeted on Twitter. I'm not exactly sure if this is going to be highlighted elsewhere, but I'm going to include this in the show notes as well for anybody who wants to get involved through this mechanic as well. So there's lots of time-limited things on there that some people might like to get. There's even a RuneFest 2019 item code if you didn't go and for some reason you want the item that people had. It's all available there. So, on eBay. And the current bid for Mod Osborne's t-shirt is £57.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and £43 for Mod Dolan's t-shirt.
Mod Dolan's t-shirt? Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Oh, they're...
Yeah,
Shane, I do have
green,
one other thing.
The green staff t-shirts. Go ahead.
I forgot. This is on my channel right now. But any subs that I get through the game last weekend, so from the 21st to the 23rd, I'm going to donate all of those to Special Effect.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah, wanted to, I almost spaced my, I was like, wait a minute. And so remember that if you got Twitch Prime, you get a free sub. So, you, hey.
And you can give you it to charity. You can put it on Bezos
dimes. Right? Hey?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
And all it's worth noting that all the eBay auction costs go 100% to charity on this. So you can head on over there and see if there's anything that you like and contribute that way, or contribute to your favorite RuneScape content creator. All right, so that's Special Effect, United Communities of RuneScape for Game Blast 2020, kicking off Double XP weekend in just a few hours from recording time, though you guys are listening to this. It is on and active, so definitely will be interesting to see what all the gains everybody gets up to this weekend, because you know how it goes with Double XP weekend, right?
Oh, man. Get ready to read the Bible.
Yeah,
because that's what it feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, then, let's move on to the patch notes for this week, because there are a few things that we want to talk about related to the fixes made this week. Then we'll move into the survey and the archaeology. Dev blog, I guess you could say, or lore dev blog. And actually, I'll save that for later. I was going to say something about that, but I want to save it for after. So starting off in our patch notes this week, we do have a section dedicated to Once Upon a Slime. And King Slime's top hat now appears at the start of the newest list when you're in the player wardrobe screen. So you can just activate it there, and you don't need to necessarily have it in your inventory and equip it. You can just equip it as a standard cosmetic, as everybody would like to do. So that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Completing the quest.
Best reward.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Even more so than the pet. The pet looks like a little block of pink goo following you around. completing the quest will now allow players to re-equip their comp capes without having to log back in. That's a bit of an interesting one. I feel like we've discussed that patch note before. Combat-wise, this week, players can no longer receive the first two bosses from Elite Dungeons as Reaper assignments, so this means that you won't be given the first two in a series of an Elite Dungeon. You might just be given Sirius instead, rather than the two leading directly before it. Have you ever been asked to go kill Sirius when you're doing your Reaper?
No. No. Luckily, that has not happened.
That'd be pretty pretty painful, wouldn't it?
Oh, dude. You old skip? No, thank you.
All right. And the changes we talked about in relation to the mining skill actually made it in this week. It sounded like it would be a little while longer to get it through QA, but they brought these changes in really quickly.
Dude, they were on it. I mean, it was one line of code, right?
Yeah, so. But I mean, they said they wanted to test it to make sure it didn't impact anything else in the skill, too.
You know, I think they kind of they had it down for that, you know. I don't know. I didn't think it would take that long. I am surprised it was that fast. But that's good, because now I wouldn't mind until that was
done. You think seeing the strife in the community is what did that? Maybe Mod Warden pushing things behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, it could have been. It could have been like, hey, let's get this done with, don't let it fester, you know. And if that's the case, then great.
So the changes, for anybody wondering, last week and what was in game, you had a stamina decrease and you would suffer a mining rock damage decrease linearly with that, but it's been changed this week so that if you're mining at 100% stamina, or that is clicking the rock every time your pickaxe strikes it, so 4-tick mining, you're going to deal 100% damage as you always did. If you're between 1 and 99% stamina, you'll deal 90% damage, and then should you fall all the way down to 0 stamina when there's no sparks at all coming out of your rock, you'll be doing 20% damage, and this is what we highlighted in Mod Jack's TED Talk last week on the whiteboard. the various options and scenarios they could do.
Whiteboard.
Yeah, the infamous whiteboard. Or I like the whiteboard. I liked it. You didn't, but I did.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
And they say, you know, players chasing only raw opportunities should now find that their rates were similar to before. Which I think we determined because our numbers going into that, we said people are going to be mining somewhere around 65% efficiency, and their number was 60 to 70% with that. So with raw opportunities, it should be exactly as it was before, hovering at that 90% damage threshold. In other changes this week, a number of server-side optimizations and future-proofing measures for Diango's item storage have been brought in. And, you know, this is an important one, and that's why it's in here, because with this, we need to ultimately remember that Diango's storage is now part of the bank, which is really odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know...
That's where it's been, though, right?
No, no. I mean, remember when they added the bank taster and Sirianna and I didn't like that because it didn't feel like it was a proper update?
Right.
And that's because it brought these interfaces in from Diango to a point where you wouldn't normally have expected them. But now they're there, and this is why optimization and future-proofing Diango's item storage is so important. The winter chill has been chill off has been removed from the Lumbridge crater. Everybody's finding everybody's least favorite skill or most expensive skill since Herblore 1. The uncompressed texture setting has been re-enabled, and you know this is one that I don't get. It'd be nice to know exactly where this comes into play because with uncompressed textures on or off, it's really hard to tell where the uncompressed textures are being used. I think that was designed primarily for Menaphos, but I could be wrong on that. Maybe Anachronia. It's really hard to say because I can't see a difference. And I'm not going to ask you if you could see a difference on that because of our discussion not too long ago.
All right, yeah.
Then in general bug fixes, action bar keybinds are no longer slightly delayed after exiting various interfaces. The short delay still remains after committing to a chat message, and this is more along the lines of those dead click or dead action bar clicks that we saw in the tail end of 2019 that were being hunted down and caused so much trouble for people. So this is just making the game more responsive as a whole. The broadcast message for a Hazelmere Signet ring will now be displayed in areas where this was previously missed. Fixed a bug that made enemies in God Wars Dungeon 2 impossible to kill. Yeah, we don't want to run into that.
Oh. Ouchie.
Yeah. You can now pick up a stackable relic from the ground with a full inventory containing the stackable item. So some manual checks obviously going on there that needed to be extended to the relic items. Mixing a Herolander potion with only swordfish in your inventory will now make a cooking potion without opening the potion making interface. That's something many people don't remember, is that we actually have cooking potions in game. And super cooking potions and extreme potions. Extreme cooking potions.
Yeah. Why would you ever use them? I mean, why do you need them?
The Primal Feast. 115 cooking. The food item that came out with 120 herbivore. Well,
yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
And you know what the thing is?
PVMers go, hey, I need that Primal Feast.
I still have dinosaur meat that's not selling for 30% below market average, so people aren't using it.
Yeah. Oh, does that mean you could maybe make money from making it? Well, they probably ain't selling either, though. Ain't selling Primal Feast either.
I mean, we could try and make one, but I've never seen the point, because if the constituent elements aren't selling, that means there's no demand upstream for it. So, hatchets will now give four components correctly per bar used in the making of them when disassembled. All Warn, Zamorak, and Signia will stop Zamorak forces from attacking you within God Wars Dungeon 1. fixed an issue that allowed a large number of broken or degraded items to be equipped via the bank. Yeah, we've kept hearing about these, haven't we? And it should just be, I guess, with this, that they're all taken care of. And finally, the Prosper perk from the invention skill now states which level of clue you will obtain when it activates. And there's the patch notes for the week. I don't think I have anything else left to say on these. I think it's good to see the mining ones in. And, you know, just a reminder that the cooking potions are out there. I think that's the general takeaway from this.
that was the takeaway.
The mining changes are in, and you can make primal feasts. So, there we have it.
I wonder how much those are going for.
Let's have a quick look here. Feast. Oh, you can't sell the... Remember, you can't sell the actual thing. You got to make it yourself.
You got to buy all the crap.
Yeah, you got to make the meat, like the Pavasaurus Rex meat, for example. 4.1K.
Oh, so not a whole lot.
No, and the raw version is 23K. Yeah, so you can kind of see that it's very low on the demand for that.
I just wonder. I'm like, I should buy a bunch of that stuff and make them and see if I can just eat my way through.
Well, bosses. No, you don't want to do that because you're going to be better off, you know, using brews with the overload to prevent your stats from degrading because they're a no-tick food item.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
And see, this is the thing we don't think about because we're not combat people. There's the jellyfish as well. Remember those from deep sea fishing?
Yeah.
With that. And the whole point around those is that when you eat them, they don't reduce adrenaline. The green and blue jellyfish. So it's almost as if brews or jellyfish are going to be better off than the, you know, for mass spamming food, unless you need to completely refill your inventory. If that's the case, then, or refill your health. And, you know, granted, we're going back to herb lore for this, but I see the use of the primal feast for somebody who is, you know, just getting started with PVM and is going to go down to, you know, around 2,000 life points and just want to be able to click one thing a couple times and shoot themselves all the way back up.
Sounds like we're going to need a cooking rework. I'm not seeing the use of it.
Well, I mean, you could ask that question, how many other things are actually useful cooking-wise, and I can point to the Power Burst of Vitality with Rocktails as we go into this double XP weekend as another fun thing.
That is true.
And, you know, I wish I had the alt spun up starting in January, because if I did, I'd be doing double XP weekend there for that. But there just wasn't enough time to prepare for it. So.
Yeah, I cleaned out the farm, and I'm going to throw everything in later tonight. Get ready.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
All right. Moving on from that, in terms of hoping for the best, you know, we always talk about the best way to do live streams. And we talk about Jagex's live streams when they do them, and we offer the feedback for that. And there's actually a survey that started going out today, a survey about how people get their RuneScape news and how Jagex talks to people. And, you know, there's a number of interesting things on the top of this. I think the core aspect of this is they want to make sure that if they have a message to get out, they can get it out to everybody in a very effective way. And perhaps they don't know what the best way is to go or what the players prefer the best way to be, I guess you could say in that regard, because what you want to do as a company is different than what the players feel should be done for disseminating information, if that makes sense. So you didn't get the survey.
I don't know anyone that got that survey, Shane.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I got it twice on both my accounts.
Well, I really want to know what you think.
Could be. They say the survey will take between 7 to 8 minutes, and they say since we know this time is that time is especially precious during Double XP Weekend Extended, we'll throw in a 6-month RuneScape membership to 3 random players who will complete it.
Damn.
So there's that. We're going to dive into the survey here. And, you know, this survey starts off as the way that you would expect most surveys to do, and that's asking basic demographic information, how much you play RuneScape, which version of RS you playing, when did you start playing, do you play old school, that kind of thing. Then the next question is, have you heard about the upcoming RuneScape release, Archaeology? Yes or no? And the question then branches off with this. If you say yes, you are asked, when did you first hear about it? The options being September 2019, October, November, December, January, or February. September, of course, being when they had that live stream. And I was forgetting this until you mentioned it. But you remember that live stream where I forget who exactly was on the couch. I think it was Mod Osborne and Mod Shawnee. And they got the announcement that they were announcing a new skill. And you remember the guy's face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shawnee just, was like, you know, out of the blue on a live stream. And yeah, that's what September 2019 is. And I completely forgot that.
Yep.
So because of that,
in no way had anything to do with other circumstances that were going on.
I think at the time I said that was a really good idea based on what the topic of the week was. And that's going to be a general theme through this, and I'll come back to this later. But you do have to drive narrative in the modern era, and people might not like hearing that because that's something that a political consultant would say, so to speak. But whether you're trying to drive a narrative for a political candidate or you're trying to prevent your community from talking about bad things in your game, it's one and the same. You're attempting to control the narrative. And we'll come back to that at the end of the survey. So I said October, and I think that's when you heard about it as well, officially October. I know there's rumblings going all the way back to the launch of Anachronia. You guys pegged that really well on one of our roundtables. The next question is, where have you heard about Archaeology? The options are official Jagex channels. This includes web and social media, forums, and so on. YouTube, Facebook, forums, Reddit, in-game, content creator, Twitch, Twitter, Discord, Instagram, email, word of mouth, RuneScape ads, or other. And if you guys listen to this podcast and you first heard it on this show, and you got this survey, tick the content creator option and other and fill in RSBNB update, because we do disseminate the news in that regard. And I don't doubt for a second there are some of our listeners out there who would have heard this who have this survey. So if you did hear it from us, please do be honest and fill that in as one of the options. We would like that. Now, if you say that you heard it from an official source, the choices then go down to Twitch stream, subreddit, YouTube videos, Discord, Twitter, Jmod Twitter or Reddit account, Instagram, email, Facebook, ads from RuneScape, forums, or other. And, you know, we'll come back to the Jmod Twitter aspect as well, because I think this is a big question on it. And then, where did you first hear about Archaeology? Official Jagex channel, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Discord, forums, Instagram, Reddit, email, in-game, word of the mouth, content creators, ads, or other. Please specify. And once again, if it was us, choose content creators and other. Now, if you say you heard from an official Jagex channel, what was it? Choices are RuneFest stream, attendee, video, news post, RuneFest social media, Jmod social media, official RuneScape email, website, or Archaeology microsite. And now the survey goes to be more general, and I think this is where when the answers come in, it's going to be really interesting. Where do you get your news about RuneScape events and releases? We have all the options that I mentioned previously on here. And, you know, I think the bulk of people are going to say in-game and their clan or Reddit on here.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think Twitch will have a good showing.
Okay. Twitch, perhaps. Because I know, yeah, it's 2020, but there's still times go by, even in Clan Quest, where people don't read the news posts. They just get their news from what people are talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Then we have a couple of how much do you disagree questions in particular, going from strongly agree to strongly disagree. I am well informed about archaeology. You're excited for its release, and you understand the mechanics of the archaeology skill. But you know what the thing is? They haven't talked about any of this stuff, except for at the keynote, or if you played the demo. Yes, they talked about the general way the skill works, but most of the mechanics have been kind of hidden away so far.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Right, and I was able to go for a 5 on that one because right as soon as Sirion played that at RuneFest, he messaged me and told me about it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know – I got the – they gave us the gist of it. You know what I mean? We know that we dig until we find artifacts or something
components,
like that.
And then you use that and expand it out to finish them and whatnot, and that's going to be the bulk of the XP. And that's what makes it a gathering skill. It's effectively a core loop.
I mean, when you think about it, though, think about what we knew about invention and then how it is. Like, yes, it was all true, but, I mean, it's all the stuff in the middle that you're going, you know what I mean? Like, that fills it out. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think we know much about
that. Yeah, unless there's been changes since RuneFest. So this is of course an odd question to ask at this point, I think. I think the only people who can say you understand the mechanics of it will be those who played it at RuneFest.
I mean, and even that, man, you know, I mean...
I mean, unless you're just like, do you get there's a core loop? Oh, no, you could stay there as long as you wanted.
But you're at RuneFest. How long are you going to stay there?
Yeah, yeah.
Playing RuneScape. Like...
I don't know. I know the year I was there, somebody played the mining and smithing beta for 3 or 4 hours.
I just feel like there'd be too much to do.
Yeah,
I couldn't,
there
couldn't.
Is. There is.
I mean, as much as I might want to, I don't know. I would check it out, but there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
So many people to hang out and party with.
So that was a bit of an odd question on that front. Then, which of the following archaeology features were you aware of before this survey, and you can answer yes or no on these as I move through them. All right. I think that'll be interesting. Were you aware it goes to level 120?
Yeah.
Were you aware that it offers you the chance to explore multiple new areas?
I think they've been pretty good on that, yeah.
Were you aware that it's shaped by the God Wars?
What? No.
Okay.
Did they say that?
Yeah, that's what's happening, and that's what's been in all the lore blogs. God Wars 1.
Oh, well, if you didn't... well, okay.
Are you aware that it's free to play up to level 20?
Near that, yeah.
Are you aware that it includes mechanics that'll connect with summoning and invention?
You know what this tells me?
What?
They should do the lore blog or whatever. Should be a little lore video, 3-5 minutes lore video.
I think they would get a lot more engagement out of that if they did that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I bet we will see, because you know there's a good 4 to 5 things in the core game loop for archaeology. I bet we'll see a content showcase on each of them in the lead up to it. So that would probably put the release at late March or early April, I think.
I mean, unless it comes out next Monday. I don't think it is.
You realize if that were to happen, that would be horrible for me, right?
Maybe, but...
Because we're not ready.
No, but... I mean, we've got... we get big stuff after
double XP weekends. You're right.
That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah. I don't know. Just saying.
Or it could be after double XP weekend extended is over.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Okay. I don't think they won't. I don't think they'll drop that in during the middle of extended again.
Ooh. So what if next week is the announcement, and then the week after is the launch?
Yeah.
Because they said on the coming live stream they would have a surprise for everyone.
Yeah, this was good. I mean, I think it's the Monday after it's, over.
All right. Well, let's just keep the speculation low then, because we have no idea.
no, it's just fun.
You're aware that it'll introduce new items into the game and that lore is interwoven into the skill.
Yeah, the lore skill.
Then, which of the following features are you aware of? Dig sites, new lore, relics, ancient summoning, ancient invention, the elite skilling outfit, the achievements, the new cape, the new pet, the collection log, and QOL updates for the combat or the collection log UI and skill guide improvements. And, I felt like I knew about all of these. Did you?
I know about a few of those. They were all mentioned either at like Rootfest or a subsequent live stream, but I don't think it's been enough for people to know it. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, the word know is a big one, right? Or aware of. Okay, aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which of these are. Oh, here's a pop quiz question. How many dig sites are you aware of that come with the release of the skill? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's the armadillo one, right? And I feel like
the answer is 5.
5. Okay.
Yeah. And there's an I'm not sure option. Then which features interest you the most? You can select what your favorite ones were. I said the dig sites, the lore, the relics, the summoning, and the invention, and I left everything else off the list for me. So the core gameplay aspects of it. Then, have you provided any feedback on our updates in the last 12 months? Which,
no.
What are we doing right now?
Every week. Every week. For the last 700 and how many weeks?
Yep, and this is the next question. What mediums have you used to do this? Well, Survey is one, forums is another, Twitter, sure. And that other checkbox, the podcast, RSVNB update, which That's makes right. sense for us, right?
Yep.
Because, I mean, yes, it's feedback, and, you can say that not every JMOD is going to listen to it or it might not be disseminated properly, but I have a pretty good idea of who listens to the podcast, and I know there are a few people inside Jagex who do. Listen to us. So I had no problem ticking that box there. But I did check forums, survey, and that's it on that one.
Yeah.
And then comes the big kahuna. Do you have any other comments about the quality of our communications to you?
Oh, man. They asked for it there, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And this is going to be stuff that everybody on this podcast has heard before here, and I effectively have said what I always tell you guys is that at the end of the day it comes down to being able to deliver a message and drive that narrative going forward. In the live streams in particular, I cited that live stream that everybody disliked with Mod Mike regarding microtransactions and how we reordered that here on the podcast, and just how a little bit of a reordering and a change of some of the language can make a big deal in terms of how things are perceived for it. Because I think that was our general consensus with that live stream, is that the points were there. They were just a bit strewn about, and had they been presented differently, they would have had a completely different reaction on that live stream.
Yeah.
That episode. And, other key aspects in this are making sure that there are JMods who aren't just disseminating information willy-nilly on Twitter or Reddit. And I think they've gotten a bit better in doing that over the years, but it still happens from time to time. So I think communications like that should come from a central communications mechanism, probably the live stream and the CM team on that. Have the CM team be the bridge that it's designed to be, and let the JMods communicate with players on Reddit and Twitter just as a way of communication and not necessarily disseminating new game information out there. And – oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I agree with that, but I think you could have – there's – I think there's a few JMods that are good to be on the couch. Like, Ahmad Osborne is good to have on the couch. Ahmad Warden, good to have on the couch.
Jack.
Yes. So, I mean, you
and,
know.
And just to be clear.
I don't want to give those guys up because they're pretty good to be on the couch.
Right. And you can definitely do that. And just to be clear, that doesn't mean that nobody else should appear. You definitely should have other people on there to spice things up.
Right. But I do agree with kind of where you're going with that. I think there has been improvement, especially in the latter part of last year, moving into this year. And even with you know, I didn't love last week's, but structurally, it was, you know, I didn't like some of the answers. You know what I mean? Like, but as for the communication and the stream itself, it's been pretty steady improvement, I think. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
And, you know, on live streams in this, I also said that, you know, We've just gone through February without a behind-the-scenes video. Proves it can be done, and the community can survive that in 2020, and the game can survive that, right? So what I said is that reveal should be done on live stream through a content showcase, and then the news post or the behind-the-scenes post goes out when they're ready to do that live stream there. And, you know, we probably don't even need the month-ahead videos. Because we did it here in February, and
go away.
And you know those content showcases, live streams, those are some of the best.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I don't even think it's close. Like when it comes to revealing the content, that's I think when a lot of people start paying attention. Anyway, they want to see, you know, how it works, and especially when it, you know, because that's like usually weeks before release. Versus working on it.
it'll
be out later.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, one final thing I said on this is that, you know, rather than using, you know, Twitter and Reddit to get the opinions out there, I said that most of the communication should be done through official mediums like news posts and their official forums. Which is something we've been saying for years as well. So everything I just said shouldn't be a shock to most of the people that listen to this podcast, but I just wanted to kind of reiterate what I filled into my box on here. So hopefully you get that survey because you would be another good person to have it.
Huh? Maybe it went out to like – maybe it was for influencers and I mean – Your name is on the
list. I heard of people getting it in their game inbox as well, in game. People in Clan Quest. So.
Well, that wouldn't help. That all that's going to do is give you a number of how many people don't look at their in game.
Well, people are always going to do that because that's where the PMod requests come from, right?
Yeah.
So.
If that's your thing.
And, you know, one other thing on this, if you need to build a good survey, like you want a good survey that you can draw inspiration from and have a good result set, you probably need to send this out to around 2,000 to 3,000 people.
Yeah.
You could do it with less, but then you're going to have a higher error rate on it. You're not going to get the depth of responses. Or you could just do a more limited run if you're really – what you're really concerned about is this box here at the end. If that's what you're concerned about, then you'd do a more limited run, 500 to 1,000. So, but that's the survey. I don't think I have anything else to say on it. Do you?
I do not.
All right.
Hope I get it.
Yeah. Last piece of RS news this week, we have another archaeology journal detailing the Carid et dig site. And, you know, this one shows that it's one of the ones that was uncovered. And, you know, as with most things in this skill, it definitely does have a high Zarosian influence into it. And there's even some, I guess what you could say almost looks like a painting of Majorat and some kind of Zaros follower, I guess you could say with that. I'm not going to go through this and read the entire post to you guys because we have another plan of what we want to do with all these archaeology dev blogs when we have a release date for the skill, and we're going to do something that's a bit more wholesome than that. But it is definitely here for those of you guys who want to read it and get a bit of a early grasp on what some of the potential lore could look like in this skill. And, you know, the more I see, the more I'm convinced that archaeology is going to be the lore skill.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that only makes sense.
Yeah. And for anybody wondering, the other archaeology journals that have come out that we've heard about are the Stormguard Citadel, the Warforge one, and this one, Carid Et. So we got three of them here that we've seen so far. So we're only missing posts on two of them going forward. And, you know, there's plenty of time between now and the next week or so to trickle one out. And maybe by the end of March, the other one will be on. We'll have a release date for the archaeology skill. Or another thing that could be a surprise, what if the other surprise is that we're getting iOS mobile beta?
That'd be a hell of a surprise.
Maybe. Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool.
I think that and archaeology are perhaps the two biggest things the community is waiting for.
Well, let's hope that it's one of the two, because if it's neither, we're going to be like, oh, no.
Who knows? It could be Mod Warden's recipe for biscuits or something.
Yeah. If anything, I think at a minimum we'll get the roadmap.
Yeah, the roadmap will definitely be there, I think. Wouldn't you like Mod Warden's or Mod Porky's recipe for biscuits?
I don't know. Why Mod Porky? I mean, Mod Warden, maybe. I don't know. Timbo looks more like a biscuits and gravy kind of guy to me. I want his recipe.
You're aware that there's a different definition of biscuits in the UK than North America, right? A biscuit in the UK and Europe is a cookie.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Someone needs to help them. That's not a biscuit.
Yep.
We need to-
That's what I meant by biscuits.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not a biscuit, but okay.
All right, fair enough.
If you can't put sausage gravy on it, Shane, it's not a biscuit.
And there is also another reference in there for Mod Warden's biscuits, because Mod Warden is actually Canadian, and one of the biscuits that everybody talks about in Canada is the hockey puck. That's the term for the hockey puck, is the biscuit.
Oh, but do you have real biscuits? Or?
Yes, of course we do.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course we do.
Well, I had to ask, man. You've got weird little ham and circle ham, so, you know. Or we call it bacon and ham, but, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to questions. But, you know, we've been doing this Patreon page. We started Patreon in, what, July 2018?
Sounds right.
And, you know, this month we hit a huge milestone, and not only did we hit it, we blew right past it. We have unlocked our movie night with RSB&B tier.
What?
Yes, we have.
What?
We definitely have. And, you know, we're going to talk about we'll have all the information in that for the Patreon people in our roundtable that's happening this weekend. But that and more, of course, will be detailed in March. But I want to thank our Patreon supporters this week and every week. Starting off, I'd like to thank 29 Let's Go, who is a brand new arrival. Welcome aboard. We also got Brock H, Cameron, Cass, Christian S, Darren L, Diana, Jason S, Joe M, John P, another new arrival, R Memories, Kyle, Rastafa, Ripeth, Sam W, the Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support, and welcome back to Sam W. I see you have resubscribed. Always nice to see someone come back. But thank you once again to all of our Patreon supporters for making this possible and, you know, bursting past that marker. It wasn't too long ago. We were just discussing it as a mystical number, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm in shock because I honestly didn't think we'd ever reach that. And here we are. And now I'm going,
what's next?
How and what movie shall we watch? Are we going to have them vote on it, or?
I don't know. I haven't decided that part yet. I mean, we could.
That'd be fun. We could come up with three choices or four choices.
It's a question of who they're going to want to troll.
Oh, this is going to be awesome. Dude.
But if you want to see what all this is about, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB, and there you can sign up for as little as $1 a month. You get a special mention in our show notes and early access to them. You also, of course, help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. And we had some funny ones over the last couple of weeks, so those were in there, and Patreon supporters get to hear them straight away. And, of course, what we're doing with this, we're pressing ahead. We have our monthly bit. This will be arriving to you guys in the first week of March. We're going to get that poll up and dealt with this weekend at our round table, which we're doing at 10 p.m. Eastern, which I believe is 3 a.m. game time on Saturday, which, you know, it's double XP weekend. We wanted to do it when we're when the both of us are going to be on RS for double XP weekend. So sorry to the European folks this time around, but you guys had your friendly time slot last month. We like to bounce back and forth between those.
Bounce around.
But, of course, in addition to that, we've got Inside RSBNB Update. We'll be getting a sneak peek at something in terms of how we produced the show this month, and this was something we've been bouncing back on, back and forth with. You guys might recall initially we said we were going to do a variety show. Well, we started going down that path, and we decided that really wasn't for us because everything we wanted to put in there would have gone better on RSBNB Update, the main show. But at the same time, if we would have put other stuff on there that we didn't want in RSBNB Update, the question then became, why are we putting content that we wouldn't put on our main show? Because it wouldn't be deemed good enough into a variety show. So for that reason, the variety show isn't going to go forward, and we'll just have a regular Inside RSBNB Update. But nonetheless, keep your eyes peeled to the Patreon page at patreon.com/RSBNB for the monthly bit poll and the first movie night as well. So all that and more. patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So we have a question this week from Sunset Fish. With double XP weekend coming up, do you still have any long-term goals or just short-term ones? And what keeps you playing RuneScape?
Well, you can't quit. It's not possible.
Yeah, the number of people who have quit and never returned that I know is very, very tiny.
Yeah. You never quit. It's like the mob, you know. Pull you back in.
The Cambridge mob.
The Cambridge mob, man. Huh? It'll pull you back. I still have goals. Like, just this weekend, I'm hoping that I'm going to hit, we're going to try to hit 120 summoning. We're going to hit 120 strength. There's another one. No, there's not. But we are going to work on smart player.
All right.
So, and then long term, I started looking just yesterday, dude. I started looking at my little stat box, you know, and I'm like, 120 all isn't far. I mean, it is, but it ain't. Like, yeah. It's far away, but it's doable. And I'm thinking, 120 all or comp? Which one means more to me? And I'm like, probably 120 all. So I think that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
And I keep playing just because, I mean, one, I love RuneScape. I always have since I started. Probably always will. I don't see myself ever, like, quitting. I might take a break from time to time, but I've never even, you know, my breaks are, like, a week or two most. And I don't even do that anymore, being on the show now. So, no, we're married. We're going to ride this bitch till the wheels fall off. until they board up old Jagex HQ here.
You know, it's all about the community. It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we can see that. And, you know, anybody who sees RuneFest has seen that. Anybody who's seen our community and is a part of our community sees that as well. For me, my long-term goals currently are 120 woodcutting. And the reason that's a long-term goal is I've detailed before how I'm doing the absolutely crazy thing of doing it with elders.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea for this comes in because, you know, back in the day, I knew someone who did 99 with magics. And that was a long run on its own. But with double XP and bonus XP... we're looking at around 80,000 logs to get to 120 from where I'm at right now. And, you know, if I figure if I can cut, you know, 200-ish a day when I'm doing it, that's good. Because then you can start looking at it in the points of weeks, right? That's 1,000 a week, 5 days a week, yep. If you space it out. And factoring in the bursts of XP that we get in there, like double XP weekend, where I'll be doing crystallized Acadia with cinder cores and my bonus XP, that's going to effectively be like taking, you know, the highway for a bit. And that's okay because it's a way of sprucing it up. But when you start looking at it in weeks, that's 83 weeks. That's a year and a half. That's workable. That's
worth a long time to woodcut.
It really is. But remember, I come from an era, and we were just talking about this in the Discord today, about how fast the game should be or how easy the game should be. I remember when 99s were an abstract concept because of the way old school was.
You mean classic?
Right, classic. Sorry, my old school is classic. But
that's a t-shirt, dude, or that's a meme, man. My old school is classic. That needs to go on Reddit right now.
And it would be great if it was possible, but old school classic got shut down. So I consider everything we have in game to be too fast right now, and I'm in the middle of a bit of a realignment on what RuneScape Endgame means, and in particular how the prestige mode that we've advocated for in the past numerous times fits into that, and how that can't be an endgame in itself. I know we've kind of alluded to that before, that could be an endgame for RuneScape, but I've come to the view that it can't be, because that's just not the way games work anymore in the modern era, and I'll be talking more about that on Informer very soon. But, you know, short-term goals, I think my short-term goals in RS were probably with the Anachronia dinosaur farm just to, you know, collect all the animals. And I don't think I've completed the breeding log yet, but I've definitely bred one of each type of all of the various animals and, you know, other short-term goals that I have going on. Like, I want to complete the camouflage thieving outfit as well. So if I'm not feeling woodcutting one day, I'll just, you know, go spend an hour or two thieving and prif to get those of fragments.
And that's quick, man.
Yeah.
That's real quick.
Yeah. And, you know, I only need 5 fragments left, so that's like around 18,000 or so pieces, right?
Yeah, it's not.
It's not going to take long at all. So that's my kind of short-term goal. Then I spice things up where right now divine charges are really expensive, so divination is a really good moneymaker yet again. So if I'm not feeling the woodcutting, it's either go farm some divine charges or just go and thieve and prif for a bit. Then those are the two short-term goals. Then you have the long-term one as well. And I guess, you know, a long-term goal here is just to keep the podcast running as well and our wonderful community that we have around it. And, yeah. Divine charges are currently sitting north of 70K.
That's just where I'm at right now.
So. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me playing RS. The community and everything that we've detailed and, you know, just the wonderful podcast that we have here too. So I figure if we can bring this to the people each and every week and, you know, if the community is going through a bit of a negative cycle that often happens in MMOs, we can be a positive force to try and fix that, which we talked about in our monthly bit last month, which if you're a Patreon subscriber, definitely go have a listen to. If you aren't, little as a dollar a month, you can gain access to that one. But I think that's the thing that I'm the most proud of our show, is that we, for the most part, tend to keep things very positive here.
Right. While, I think, holding feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Holding
yeah.
parties accountable.
Because you can do it in a good way or you can do it in a bad way.
Yeah,
and
well, and
if you do it in a bad way, it becomes self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help anyone. No. All right. I don't think I have anything else on that question. Are you good?
I'm good.
Well, thank you, Sunset Fish, for that question. I always enjoy seeing when your questions pop up. If anybody else wants to send them in, you can email questions@rsbnb.com or you can leave us a question on Twitter @rsbnb. And, you know, there we post each and every week a questions thread that you can reply to, or you can just send direct messages. We take direct messages as well. Or just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/ask. Alrighty. Well, you know, it wouldn't be RSBNB update without tech news. And it wouldn't be tech news without talking about what Facebook is saying.
Oh,
and what old Mark wants to everyone to believe.
Come on.
This post is entitled "Charting a Way Forward on Online Content Regulation."
Yeah, it's okay, guys. They'll regulate themselves. He's even going to tell how we should do it.
He says, or Facebook says, this isn't Mark Zuckerberg, "Over the past decade, the internet has improved economies, reunited families, raised money for charity, and helped bring about political change. However, the internet has also made it easier to share harmful content like hate speech and terrorist propaganda. Governments, academics, and others are debating how to hold internet platforms accountable, particularly in their efforts to keep people safe and protect fundamental rights like freedom of expression." Then, it says, last year, Mark Zuckerberg called for governments to work with online platforms to create and adopt new regulations for content. And today, Facebook, this week, released their white paper addressing some of these questions. So, there's 4 questions that are posed in the white paper. Number 1, how can content regulation best achieve the goal of reducing harmful speech while preserving free expression? How can regulations enhance the accountability of internet platforms? Should regulation require internet companies to meet certain performance targets? This means that companies could be incentivized to meet specific targets, such as keeping prevalence of violating content below some agreed threshold. And should regulation define which harmful content should be prohibited on the internet?
And you got a real nice internet here, Shane. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. Perhaps you could provide an incentive to keep it nice, yeah?
And they even talk about the guidelines for regulation, including incentives, the global nature of the internet, freedom of expression, technology, proportionality, and necessity. And if anybody wants to lead this steaming pile of crap, you can head it on over to this Facebook page and download it, because literally everybody who has critiqued this, including the European Union, has said that these are regulations that Facebook put out because they want to effectively control what their competitors are doing. Because they say, hey, we're already there.
Mm-hmm.
But Facebook says they want to do this because it's good for the entire community. But the reality is Facebook has already met these thresholds, and they just want everybody else to effectively curtail themselves in a way that will bring Facebook ahead in terms of their money and their marketing with this. And, you know, that's what this is all about.
And they don't want to have to deal with real regulations.
Yeah, and that's why they're presenting their own
regulations. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, this read like Mark Zuckerberg's post about encryption and privacy.
How can someone be so smart and so tone deaf?
Well, it's not him. It's the board telling him what to do to make this stuff go forward. Sure, he's smart from a technical perspective, but and what Facebook should do in terms of, you know, the connectivity side, but all the regulation and the pseudo-government stuff that Facebook does is really done by the board, and he just trots it out, I think. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the regulations will hurt other companies more, and Facebook. We have already met these regulations, so...
I mean, yeah,
what's good
but,
for
know,
us is good for everyone else, I think.
You know, that's an argument, though, that's used for on environmental regulations a lot, too.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just think they're trying to avoid actual governmental relations, which is what the solution needs to be.
Because, I mean, if you look at the web that you weave whenever you're on a website that reports back to Facebook, the amount of information they get off someone is terrifying.
Yeah.
And people don't know that.
No, have you seen that commercial where it's the auctioneer auctioning off, data that, like,
no, I have not.
Facebook. Oh, it's hilarious. It's like, oh, we got a female. Got a female here. Can I get a $5? $5 per click. And it's great. It's a good commercial about privacy.
Yeah, and you know... I think Facebook is doing this because the U.S. was very hostile to Facebook when they had that questioning period last year, I think, in front of Congress for him. So they want to effectively show that they're at least putting forward that they're doing something before, like you say, the regulation coming down. And the very fact that the EU pushed back on what Facebook had to say with this, they didn't want it. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, everybody is, of course, forgetting Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, and the EU has put in some regulations already dealing with, I mean, a lot more than the U.S. ever did.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a much more restrictive but also privacy-oriented.
Yeah, and you know... each country is also going to want to put their own policies in place, and they want them to be general enough that they're not just, you know, a Facebook policy or a Twitter policy, but modern digital policy as well. And, you know, I think everybody just needs to be aware of this, because this is something actually, I don't even know if – like if we took a survey of our listeners, how many of them use Facebook, I think that would be an interesting question to know about, like regularly, right? Not just, you know, the odd check-in or the odd messenger thing, but who uses Facebook proper, I think would be a fun thing to know of our listeners. Might have to ask that in our annual communication survey.
Sometimes I almost feel bad that I don't, because the only people I know is like friends or family or whatever, but I just
it's not worth it.
Deal with Facebook, man. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't really want anything to do with it.
It's like joining the Borg collective. You lose a bit of your humanity.
And you know what? You know what I've discovered? There are some things that I don't want to know about a friend or something. Like, you know what? If we're gamers and we play games, I may not want to know your political opinion. We're probably better friends if I don't. You know? It's just... And it's like impossible to get away from it on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what everyone always says. Why have people become more polarized? Why have people retreated into their bubbles? And, you know, the one thing that is constant between now and – or rather between, say, 2004 and now is that we have social media when we did not then.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and – to a large extent, you've been engineered to stay in your bubble. You've been algorithmed to be right there and stay there.
And follow exactly what you like, who thinks like you, who has the same interests.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Moving on, next piece of tech news. Apple is apparently considering letting users switch default iPhone applications in iOS 14 this fall. So this means that you would be able to have a default other than Safari or other than Apple Mail or other than Apple Maps. So if you got a link in iMessage, for example, right now, even if you have Chrome installed, it will always open in Safari. If you get a Mail-to link in iMessage, like an email address, it will always open in Apple Mail, even if you have Gmail installed. Or if there's an address in your contacts, it will always open in Apple Maps, even if you have Google Maps installed. And another huge thing that would come from this is that Apple could be potentially also letting go of the default music application and letting Spotify connect to Siri and the HomePod.
Oh, that would be so cool, man. Oh, man, I would get Spotify again if that was – oh, that would be – please, Apple, please.
Right? And see, this is the thing. This is what I think happens when you move to a service-based company, and that's what Apple is doing. They're moving to a service-based company with, you know, the Apple Arcade, Apple TV Plus, Apple Music. These are all services that you could choose to subscribe to, but if you're not subscribed to them, you're going to get to a point where the TV app is going to be useless. The music app will be useless unless you have your own MP3 or AAC files that you've ripped and put on your device. But on the other hand, if you're using Spotify, that's likely going to be your primary music player. And, you know, Apple can see the metrics of how many people have these installed and how many people are using them. And it will become a question of whether or not they want this to happen.
Well, yeah, and they don't have to. I mean, they're not protecting their own hardware. Like, they don't have to.
Yeah, the hardware is fine.
Right. But that's always been Apple's thing. It's like, yeah, they would offer the service side, but you had to have...
No. Previously, it used to be the app side. Now it's the hardware service side.
Okay. You know what I mean. I was trying to add it backwards. Yeah. But yeah.
And when you think about it, they lock people in with iCloud. That's the number one way to lock people into the Apple ecosystem today.
That's true. Yeah.
If all your family and friends are on iMessage, if your photos are there on Apple Photos or whatever it's called, and you have Apple Music, are you really going to want to swap to Google and leave the iMessage ecosystem if your entire family is on Apple? Probably not.
No, it's nice and warm.
Yeah. And if they do this, there's one big question for app developers out there, is will they actually get a native API so Chrome can bring forward their own web rendering engine and Firefox can bring forward their own web rendering engine? Because I don't know if you know this, but today if you use Chrome or Firefox on iOS, you're still using the Apple browser API. That is, the guts under the hood is still Safari. It's just been branded as Firefox.
Huh.
So that'll be a big question if they'll allow that to happen too. And
that
then
seems like it might be a bridge too far.
Yeah, it could very well be. Then you go into the question, well, if you're doing that, why don't we let people hook deeper into Siri? Because we all know how Siri is seen as the worst of the digital assistants in this day and age. Compared to Alexa and Google Home.
She's uppity, dude. She's uppity.
But yeah, and, you know, we'll get a better picture of this when we see the first preview of iOS 14 in June. But you can expect probably if they're going to do this, we'll see the announcement in June with iOS 14. Our next piece of tech news relates to something that nobody around this podcast uses, at least I think. And that's that TikTok has introduced parental controls with a new family safety feature that's launching first in the UK. Do you know what TikTok is?
It's like the kids' version of Vine, right?
Yeah, that's like exactly it. That's exactly it. And the idea behind family safety mode is that it will allow parents to set limits on their teenagers' usage on the TikTok mobile app. And with this, they'll also have to have parents create their own account here that'll be linked to the teen's account. Then the parents will be able to control how long the teen can spend on the app every day, turn off or limit who the teen can direct message, and choose to turn on or off TikTok's restricted mode that will limit inappropriate content.
These are teens you're talking about. You know what's going to happen? The one kid whose parents don't pay attention to shit, everyone's going to have his password and be grossing on TikTok. Come on, man. It's teens.
Yeah, that's probably true. Am I
right? They'll find ways to get around.
Am I naive for wanting a family safety mode for my Twitter account so that I don't have to see objectionable things when I click on a hashtag?
Well, I mean, no, that's to each his own. And if it was going to be on anywhere, I think it should be on Twitter. Twitter is fine when you're following like JMoz, stuff like that,
or people that you know.
Yeah, but the minute you wade into, like,
a hashtag.
Oh, God. Or just
all bets are off.
Politics or celebrity. Just
the pictures and the videos are the worst, honestly.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
It's junk.
I don't think.
It's junk. And you know, that's why I highlighted this, because TikTok is partially owned by the Chinese government. That's a fact out there that not many people know. And there have been government officials in Canada and the U.S. that have been banned from using TikTok because of the Chinese government's influence. But with that aside, I do think that they are onto something with the potential for a restricted mode. Not from the parents' sense necessarily, but I just think it would be nice if we could ask social media companies for a filter on these things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes more sense.
There's supposed to be a sensitive
content
filter on Twitter, but it doesn't work. At least I find it. Is that?
Of the accidental porn shot coming through there, Shane?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Damaged, dude. You're damaged.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just guessed. I always heard that Twitter allows that stuff. I'm never like on. That's one I'm not on.
Yeah,
but I've always heard that like it is on there. So I'm like,
I bet
that's what happened.
And I mean, it's not even on the main site. It's on TweetDeck because I use TweetDeck and I have my activity feed up, so I can see what people like. But there should be a way to filter out the objectionable stuff because I don't need to see. I'm going down a different path here, but I don't need to see objectionable content on Twitter if I don't want to see it. And if we're going to talk about regulation, maybe this is a way we can go in terms of, you know, making it so that there needs to be some kind of parental content filter or just a general content filter to keep the websites clean, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can have a toggle. You could have a toggle for – we'll call it I don't know, what would you call it, Shane? What do you call the filtered version? Clean version.
I don't know. Yeah. And you know, you can say this, but it's also very hard unless you're thinking of filtering just words, because you can't filter pictures. Picture filtering is still in its infancy. It's getting better, but it's still got a long way to go in terms of being able to see what's bad. So... that's the main reason this story is here, because TikTok is doing this for the family-friendly market, or so they say. And like you said, this won't work for teens. It's more along the lines of a parent who gets in early and, you know, wants to control or, you know, just make sure that their kids don't see anything bad on the website. But like you said, they could just go around and use a friend's account who has a different password associated with it.
Yeah, I mean, this is fine for, well, I don't know about TikTok. I don't know anything about TikTok, but I do know, like, kids are younger and younger using mobile devices and stuff. Like, it's crazy how young a kid can be and use mobile device. So I think it's actually useful, but it's for a much younger age group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and wrap the show up then. We do have some achievements. This is the calm before the storm.
The calm.
The calm before the double XP weekend storm. So starting off on February 19th, we had Black Nexican with 99 strength. Yahoo on the 18th with 99 attack. Biggie Sweats on the 17th with 99 fletching. Cledio with 99 fishing on the 17th as well. And Badger got 99 invention on the 16th.
All right. Well, then we have Rastafa with 200 mil Hunter XP. Ooh. on the 16th. That is an Iron Man, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it a hardcore Iron Man?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong. But, I mean, it's an Iron Man, dude. Oh, wow.
That's what Iron Man was meant for, these kind of feats.
Yeah, right? It really was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not all. Okay. We also have Yitzi with 99 fletching on the 16th. And Yitzi again with 99 cooking on the 15th.
Ooh.
And then we have Air Snipers with 99 constitution on February 14th, Valentine's Day. And Lorosaurus with 99 strength on February 14th. Lorosaurus with the strength coming in there. Hell yeah.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done. All right. Well, it's pick of the week time. And, you know, I have many other interests aside from RuneScape and gaming and whatnot. And I get to share these with you guys on the podcast from time to time. And this is one that I get to share. And this is a meteorology website called windy.com. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
Nope.
What you can do on this website is you can get a view of the entire globe, and it puts together nice maps. So you can see exactly, as the name suggests, what the global wind patterns are currently, which is all fine and dandy. But you can apply other various filters to it. So if you wanted to, for instance, add temperatures onto the map, you could do that as well, and you can see exactly what the temperature gradients look like across the continent. And with this, you know, right now you'd see that if you look at most of North America, and I'm just clicking around the Midwest right now, it's around -7 or -8 Celsius. And there's this big cold area, this big uniform cold area all the way down from about Tennessee and Oklahoma all the way up to the Northwest Territories here in Canada, with California and the coasts and the deep south of the United States actually being warm. So you can apply temperature to it. You can also apply humidity to it as well. You can see where is the most dry and where is the most wet, based on various factors in the atmosphere currently. You can have a look at what the cloud cover looks like currently. And there's just so much more. And here's a real fun one to do in the winter. You know what this one is? Snow depths. You can see how deep the snow is.
Probably not much of that.
No. Not much in the U.S., but if you click around Canada and Alberta in particular, oh boy. If you click around where I am in Edmonton, we got around 30 centimeter snowpack.
What?
Yep, 30 centimeters.
Oh, 30 centimeters.
Yeah, about a foot.
Okay.
Since the beginning. Like, this is, in general, snow depth everywhere. And, you know, this is always a good thing because you can... You should say, oh, where's the snow? Because you wonder, where does it snow and where does it stop snowing, and what states have snow and what states don't. And each year it's different, and you can pop this up and you can just get a general picture of how this is going. So there's many, many other things that you can add in on here. You can add air quality as well, like the ozone layer, aerosols, sulfur dioxide is another one. It just goes on and on and on and on. Visibility.
Wow.
Ocean swells. Sea temperatures. Good to keep track of what's happening with global warming if you watch it. Currents. It just goes on and on and on. And for anybody who's interested in data, this is a website that you're absolutely going to love. So
that's cool. I'd keep an eye on them sea temperatures when you get around hurricane season.
Yeah, exactly.
It's warm.
You can turn on a weather radar to see if there's any storm fronts coming in, and it will also show lightning in real time as well. So it's a lightning map.
Oh, wow.
You can do forecasted weather, temperatures, practically anything under the sun. Dew points. And you can tell that this is something I'm interested in, because each one of these things on the side, I would get a certain use out of on here. So that's the pick of the week, windy.com. And I think it was Sirion that showed me this based on the storms that were happening not too long ago in the Netherlands. So there we have it, windy.com, pick of the week. All right. What have you been up to in RS this week?
Man, it's been a busy week. So I have been preparing for Double XP weekend, basically, making sure I had all of my extreme potions and all that stuff together, making sure I had all stuff I was going to be using for summoning, and then frantically trying to run around and make a little cash in there so that I would have...
Right.
You know, the money for it. So I've actually been doing some of that div. It's still good. And other than that, I did a live stream last night and just finished an article. So,
which we'll have up in time for Double XP weekend. So
yeah, so...
Such a fun time of year with Double XP weekend.
It is.
As for me this week on RS, you know, continuing the Elder track, but also, as I mentioned, doing Divine Charges because you just can't resist that kind of money when you have the opportunity, right? And it's laid back AFK, so it's a fun thing to do. A little bit of herb farming in between, and of course getting ready for Double XP weekend, making sure all the cinder cores are ready. I was hoping to get a Vic in. I think I'm going to need to purchase a portable Vic for Double XP weekend.
Oh, got enough to trade or what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a bond as a gift for Christmas.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's what that'll go towards. But that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you so much for everybody who contributed to this episode. And, of course, full show notes are available at update.rsbnb.com. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that as well. Just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. You can get in on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, YouTube, anything under the sun, all at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And I should also say, if you want to join us on Discord, you can do that as well. You can come to the RSBNB Discord server by joining us at rsbnb.com/Discord. And with that being said, we'll see you guys all next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Remember to check out Tanis on the live stream this weekend, twitch.tv/RSBNB_Tanis79. Best way to get that notification when it's time is just hit that follow button for him and you'll get a notification on Saturday when he goes live with his Game Blast stream. So we'll see you next week, everyone, for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.